Blog Talk Radio.
Again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. And we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening by internet, we are an interactive Bible study. So you have an opportunity of calling in and participating. The call-in number would be 347 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you will be connected to this Bible blog, and you'll be able to participate. We'll be able to get an opportunity to hear what God has placed on your heart as we go through Scripture. Amen? And you can also ask questions to whomever is speaking. So we do thank you for tuning in. This evening, we are in Long Island, New York, with Minister Edna Hammond. She'll be speaking to us this evening, and her title is No Worries. It's not over. It's just a pause in your journey. Amen? So we'd like to thank you once again and let you know that there are no worries as we hear more from Long Island, New York, Minister Edna Hammond. Minister Hammond, are you on?
Yes, I'm on. God bless you. God bless everyone.
Amen. Amen. I did leave our prayer. I did leave out prayer. If you would like to lead us in prayer, or do you want me to lead in prayer? I'm leaving that option up to you.
Yes, you can lead us. Praise God.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together just to feed on your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just allow us to be able to share words of wisdom, words of kindness, and words of hope through your word. Lord, we pray that you would be with the speaker this evening, Lord, Father, that all the words that is spoken, Heavenly Father, comes from on high. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for taking out of time to want to come on and just to share a word with the body of Christ. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would be with the sick and afflicted. Lord, Father, there are so many that stand in the need of prayer. Stuart Hawthorne, the Dickersons, the Hobbs family from out of Maryland. Lord, Luke Owens Jr., June Franklin, who has just lost her husband. Lord, Father, there are so many that stand in the need of prayer, and we just intercess on behalf of them. Lord, we don't know everything, but you know it all. And so we just turn it all over to you because we know that you're that type of God. You're a God who sits high and look low. And, Father, as we humble ourselves, Father, we just ask that you would just meet the desires of their needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. Minister Hammond, you are on. Thank you so much once again. Minister Hammond.
I'm sorry. I'm here. God bless you. I had
amen.
It on mute. God bless. Elder John said, we're coming from John 11:25-26. But before we do that, just going to share a little something with you. I was thinking about how we're going through. It seems like not just one of us or three of us. It seems like we're always going through. And it seems like the enemy is heating up his forces against us. But there's no worries. We don't have to worry about anything in our journey. And whatever we go through is just a pause for a moment because God has everything in control. So with that said, there are times, I just want to read this, there are times in our lives when the journey seems unbearable, where we're seemingly moving slowly, feeling stagnant, our backs against the wall, feel like we're in a sinking situation, in a dead situation, where there's no help in sight for our recovery. Forgetting that in the scheme of things, in the scenes of our lives, God is working behind the scenes, even in the dark places. He's still working. Before we get into the base of John 11:25-26, I just was, when I was reading this from the first verse on down, I was thinking about all the things that was happening in these verses. And what we'll see is love, we'll see sickness, we'll see delay, but not deny. We'll see there's death, we'll see faith, trust and promise spoken in these in these verses. to not only the people that are in this story, but to us as well. Amen?
Amen.
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 This chapter is a story about, everyone knows it, the story about Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who was sick, then died. He was a friend of Jesus. Not only was he a friend, but Jesus loved him and his two sisters. And who not only he was a friend, but like I said, he loved them. Mary was the one that poured oil on Jesus' feet and wiped it with his hair. That's much how he loved them. Here was Lazarus. Now we're going into scripture. Here was Lazarus, sick and shut in. And there was his sisters, sending a word out to Jesus that the one who he loved was sick. When Jesus heard it, he said to his disciples, he didn't even send word yet. He said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified." There are times in our lives, even in our lives, where sickness arises and our health, even our well-being, is compromised. Whether it's in our bodies, mind, cast down spirits, finances, relationships, ministry, anything that puts a breach or brokenness in the flow of things being productive. But during all that, as Jesus loved Lazarus, he also loves you. He also loves
Amen.
Me. In verse 5, it talks about how Jesus loved, he loved them. He loved Lazarus, and he loved them. It talks about how he stayed. There was a delay. He stayed 2 days, even though he heard it, even though he got word that Lazarus was sick. He delayed his coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
I can just imagine, if you can imagine, I can just imagine how those sisters felt, what they were going through, seeing their brother who was sick and going through what he was going through, and how Jesus was supposed to love them, not yet coming on their 911 call of emergency, the ASAP of suddenly, "Jesus, come, see about us." Knowing that he was sick, not even sending back a word, not even a message, that he got the message that the one he loved was sick. And sometimes, even in our lives, there is a delay. There is a delay. We call on Jesus. We ask for help in our circumstances or our situation. And for some reason, because we're human, there's a cloud over our view. And it seems like our request is being passed over, being even dismissed. That's what's going in our human, in our humanness, in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even in our anxiousness, we get even very anxious. And waiting for an answer that sometimes it's like, let me put it this way, it's like watching paint dry. You know, it's slow when we want it like instantaneous. Like, "Lord, see about us. See about me. Don't you know what I'm going through?" But sure he does. He sees everything, and he knows all things. That was a delay, but it was yet not a deny. Yet even in that delay, Jesus knew that he was concerned about the things of Lazarus. And not only for Lazarus, but for all the people that were watching and witnessing what was happening to him. And sometimes for us, every delay is not a deny. The sickness, this sickness, remember in verse 4 it says, "This sickness is not unto death." And in my paraphrasing, I'll say this. This discomfort that you're going through, this hardship, this place of darkness that you're going through, and the operative word is going through, it's only but a pause in your journey. Psalms 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I say that to say this, that even in that time when it seems like darkness is all around us, Jesus is yet present. And even though we're going through, it's just a shadow, as Psalms 23 is telling us. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow of the evil or the things that's trying to discourage you and trying to distract you. But if we keep our eyes on God, if we keep our eyes on Christ, he will bring us through.
Amen.
It's just a pause in our journey. For that pause, when Jesus didn't come right away, he said in verse 4, a pause. It was for the glory of God that the Son of God might be glorified. I saw it as this way. All the glory goes to God so that his Son could be known in the situation that you're in. So his Son, I'll say that again too, so his Son will be known in the situation that you're in to bring you out.
Amen. Amen.
Because only him that we can come out of anything that we're in. So getting back to scripture, it was 2 days Jesus stayed where he was in verse 7. And then I'm moving down. Then he went into Judea, another place where he delayed his coming unto Lazarus. He delayed his coming unto Lazarus. And by this time, Lazarus is dead. He had died. He had died. In verse 14, and that's where death came. Verse 14, Jesus first told them that Lazarus was just sleeping. I found that interesting, telling them that he was just sleeping. Because those of us who know that even in the transition, even there's many of our friends, our loved ones have transitioned in Christ, they are just sleeping. That was a shadow of death. It was not death. It was just a shadow of death, because now they're sleeping in the arms of Christ, not dead in death, but just sleeping. In verse 15, Jesus now says, that he is glad for your sakes, for all those that are looking, even what you're going through, he's glad that basically he didn't come right then and there. It says in verse 15 that he is glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe, his faith, where you may believe. He said that because it was just sickness that Lazarus was in. He could have just came and said, be healed. But it went further than that. He could have rose Lazarus up, but it went further than that. It went for the good of sickness to be healed, but it went into the greater thing, to defy the course of nature, the course of that event of death, into a spiritual triumph so all could witness what Jesus had done, so he could be glorified. Now Jesus says, let's go. He told the disciples, let's go. Let's go. And the Bible says in verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that he laid in the grave for 4 days. I found that interesting, too, about Lazarus laying in the grave for 4 days. This was just a foretell of Jesus being laid in the grave for 3 days. But Lazarus couldn't be rose up 3 days. God went an extra day. Jesus went an extra day into seeing about Lazarus. Now, he's laid in this grave. And it says in verse 18, Bethany was just near Jerusalem. It was only 15 furlongs away. That means he was close by. He was just a mile away. But he still delayed his coming. He was just a mile away. But then he went. There the people were comforting Martha and Mary because Lazarus was dead. Now the conversation comes down to Jesus and Martha. Martha says to Jesus, if you were here, my brother, and I'm paraphrasing, my brother would have not died. But Jesus, in turn, he didn't even have conversation with that. He came back and he said, he answered her and said, thy brother will rise again. And Martha, knowing the scripture, she said, I know he will. I know he will in the resurrection, in the last day. Then Jesus, and here's the base of my scripture, then Jesus says in verse 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In these verses, I see faith, trust, and promises. And promise, a promise. Jesus was not only telling Martha, which her faith and her trust in his words were sure, but the evidence of promises, of promise, came to manifestation as Lazarus came forth out of that dark cave, out of that dark situation, out of that time of death. Lazarus came forth. And there's a lot of times that we think that it's over. Our ministries are dead. The gifts and corners in us are stagnant. There's many times that even people will hold us down, like Lazarus with the grave clothes. The grave clothes and his death couldn't hold the word of Christ going forth into that cave, into that dark place, into that pause in his journey, because his journey wasn't over. Just like the journey in your lives, it's not over. It's not over until God says it's over.
Amen.
As long as we have breath, as long as you live and move and have your being in the land of the living, it's not over. It's not over because the word of God is Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And all of us that believe have to come through him. And if you have him, you can rise again. And not just rise, but rise and be productive again. And those things that seemingly was dead, Jesus blows his breath on it, and he blows his breath on you, and he says, come forth and rise. Because of my resurrection, you are resurrected. So you don't have to worry about what you're going through tonight or what seems what tomorrow holds. Because we're not looking at tomorrow. We're looking at this moment right now. Because tomorrow, God holds tomorrow in your hand. But right now, we know that the resurrection and life that he gave Lazarus, that he breathed into that situation, that he breathed into that man, and he came alive, so be it unto you. Where it seemed like hope, there was, like Martha, the people around thought all hope was lost. It's done. He's dead. He's in the grave. He's stinking. Everything that is about Lazarus is dead. But Jesus came in. He stepped in. He said, no. I am. I am. The I am in your life. The I am in your life says rise. The I am says I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection in your health. I'm the resurrection in your mind. I'm the resurrection in that downcast spirit. I am your resurrection in your finances, in the hands, the works of your hands. All we got to do, like this ministry is new beginnings, it's a new beginning. It's a new day. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, when he rose Lazarus, when Lazarus came forth, from then on, it was another day, a new day for him to go forth and go on. Amen. And like him, like you, he is the one that can recover all and have you recover all that seemingly was lost, that seemingly that the enemy has taken from you. No, not so. You can stand on his promises. You can stand on his word. You can stand on the resurrection and life.
Amen.
That won't leave you nor forsake you by no means. He will defy the course of nature, defy anything just to get to you because he loves you. Like he loved Lazarus, he loves us. He loves you so much. He'll never leave you in a dead situation. Because he is life, and he gives life, and that more abundantly. He says here, I am the I am in your life. The Lord that wants to, tonight, to make it right, make all things right in your life. He is the one that can take that discouragement and that lamentation, that overwhelming feeling that you have, that cast down spirit that you might have, that hope and trust that seem to be in the background or lost somewhere. He is the one. He is your hope and your trust. There is nothing else. All other ground is sinking sand. But you can trust Jesus tonight. You can trust him. He's the one who gives us the greatest expectancy of moving from a mournful minor in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that mournful, like, yes, thank you, Jesus. You know that low key, oh, that mourning, oh, woe is me. Mm-mm. He can move that when he steps in. He'll move that mournful minor voice into a major triumph. Into a key that's full of proof and declaration that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He came so you can live, and so you can live more abundantly in him. He was once dead. Yes, he was, but he rose again that third day. And I'm going to tell you something about the third day, and I'm going to tell you something about things that are happening now. Jesus is soon to come back. Only the Father knows when he's going to go down and rescue my people. But I'm going to tell you something. You know how the days seem like they're going quick, fast? Jesus, let me tell you something. When you put your hand to something that Jesus has told you to do, when those gifts and callings that you have in you, when you make up in your mind that you're going to do it by any means necessary, watch things speed up. Things aren't taking three years to happen. What seemingly would take 3 years is now taking 3 months because there is time in God. But he's pushing us. He's preparing us, and he wants us to be assertive in our going and in our journey, and he wants us to know that I am not only your hope and I'm not only the promise, but you can do it. Greater is Jesus in you, greater in you than anything that's coming against you, anything that's in the world, greater, because you have the greatness in you. He is Christ. Amen. He is the Holy Spirit that's in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, hey, y'all. So, our hope and I trust and I hope that you have a trust tonight, knowing that, and I hope you're encouraged tonight, knowing that no matter where you are, no matter where you are in this moment in your life, think about it being just a pause. There's no worries. It's just a pause. It's just a pause because you will win. You will win because he will, I'll say it again, he will never leave you in that place that you're at, in that pause. That pause is not only for you know, I can't even put it this way. That pause can be even for conditioning, even for gritting your loins up, because even in that place of seemingly darkness, God is just working it out. He's working it out for your good and his glory. He's working it out, strengthening you, and he's fortifying you. You know, I'm not saying that you're going to have a big S on your chest, but I will say you will have a big J on your chest, because we can't do it by ourselves. We need Christ. We can't do this. We can't go on this journey by ourselves. We can't do it. But with Christ, we can do all things. We can do everything that we need to do. So I hope you're encouraged tonight. That he'll never leave you nor forsake you. There is no worry. All that you're going through. I heard a preacher say this a couple of weeks ago when I had went to a Seven Last Sayings. And this preacher said, and I'll say it to you, what all, after all you've been through, you still have the upper hand. After all Christ's been through, he went to that cross and he died for us. He took that whipping. He took them spitting on him. He took them talking about them, talking about him. And he took our sins onto himself. And they thought they had the upper hand when they killed him. No, he allowed them. He laid down his life. But when they thought they buried him in that grave, he rose again on that third day with the keys from death and the grave. And with all that he went through and all that you're going through, you still have the upper hand because of Christ. Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. I'll open the line up if anybody wants to add to or to. I know that this word was for me. I know when I read the scripture last week, I said, Lord, this word is for me. Because I'll be transparent right now. I've been going through a little tug of war in my own spirit, that enemy and my own self. But I thank God for people like Elder John and the word of God itself. The word of God itself and the word that Elder John gave me and Pastor Rose. You know, I call them my bookends, you know, because it doesn't matter if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher. It doesn't, when the bottom line, those titles aren't going to mean anything, because you know what it boils down to? We are just children of the living God. And sometimes we go. Sometimes we're on the mountain, sometimes we're in the valley, but wherever we are, God has people that will encourage us. And that's what we're supposed to do, encourage one another, lift one another up, and let the word come forth in our lives that will rejuvenate us again, that we can walk this walk again. Because God never told us that the road would be easy. He never said that. But what he did is that I will walk with you, and I'll give those around you, meaning the body of Christ, I'll give them around you to hold you up, because we are our brother's keeper. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The mics are open if you have any comments. The mics are open. Well, I like to make a comment. I definitely like in terms of when you said that they thought they had the upper hand. And in relationship to life in general, the things that we go through are the challenges that we have in life. And oftentimes, situations can make us feel like we don't have the upper hand. And just like this scripture, it's all about confidence, the confidence that we have in Christ.
Yes.
And it doesn't make a difference what it looks like that we're going through, but the confidence of knowing who God is in our lives and how he's able to bring us through things that we don't understand that we're going through. Just that confidence alone is what gives us the victory. See, because God always works. God works, even in the scripture, God was working on their behalf.
Yes, he was.
He was working on behalf, and he works on our behalf. That's just an example of what was going through with the scripture. You know, and I look at it of knowing that there is hope. There is hope for tomorrow. There is hope. I mean, Jesus, and he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I'm the resurrection and I am the life. So whatever life, whatever we're going through, whatever dead things that we are experiencing, God can turn that into life.
Yeah.
He can bring us from whatever we're going through where it feels like that we are that we are in whatever we're going through, I am the life.
Yes.
I am the life. And as long as we have that belief in Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the life, he's a resurrection, he's life, he's coming back again. He rose and he is coming back again.
Yes, he is.
But as we celebrate the resurrection, we know that there is going to be a time where Jesus is going to come back again. And the same thing with us. You know, and I look at it in terms of the life. We do have that life. And that life is the Holy Spirit that's within each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember, the scripture says, you know, but I'm going to leave you a comforter.
Yes, he did.
Jesus, even in the scripture, Jesus didn't leave them shorthanded. He didn't leave the disciples shorthanded. I'm going to leave you a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is our guide in life. That Holy Spirit is what we lean on when we don't know which way to go. It's our compass. And when we focus and we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us through whatever we're going through, and we stay in close relationship with the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what gives us life. That's what gives us life.
Amen.
So I just like, you know, when you say it in terms of the upper hand, I look at the upper hand. The pastor says they thought they had the upper hand.
Yeah.
No matter what we go through, Jesus Christ always has the upper hand.
After all this, after all that you're going through, you still have the upper hand. And a lot of times we forget that when we're going through. But if we could remember and remember that scripture is always life, and it's scripture speaks into that situation.
Mm-hmm. You know? Amen.
Resurrection. Amen. And we will be resurrected in that day. That's a promise to us. But even more importantly, you have that promise right now, because God is a right now God. He said, a now God, now faith, now, it's now. He steps in right now. If you want him to, he will step in right now.
Amen. 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 And that's a word that we can all take with us, wherever we go.
Yes.
We can take that with us wherever we go.
Yes.
You know, it's that belief, that faith in Jesus Christ. That faith is what, you know, faith is powerful. It's powerful. I usually, when I talk about faith, you know, God wants us to have that same faith. There's no different than we get ready to sit down in a chair.
Amen.
I don't know anybody who inspects a chair to look and make sure that it's going to be strong enough to hold them.
Yes. That's right.
What we automatically do is we just plop right down in the chair. Sometimes people sit down lightly, and if they're like me, they go in and they just plop down, you know, with all the weight. You know, as my wife always tells me, why do you sit so hard? Why do you sit on our chair? Just bring all that weight down. But yet, the strength and the sturdiness of that chair is wonderful. But we never inspect it to make sure that it's going to break, if it's going to break. We never inspect it. We just automatically sit down. And that's what faith is. We automatically do things without worrying about if it's going to hold us up or
right.
if it's going to win. We don't worry about it. And that's what Christ wants us in life. That's what Christ wants us in life, in faith. Of knowing that he's going to work on our behalf. He's going to hold us up no matter what we're going through. So we don't worry about it.
Amen.
So I like what, you know, when you title, no worries, we're not supposed to worry.
No worries.
No matter what you're going through.
Amen. Amen.
So I like that piece. Any more comments? Mic's open. I can say to myself, I thank God, you know, for being ahead of my life, because if he was not ahead of my life, I would be a wreck. I would be
Amen.
A wreck.
That's me. Amen. And that's and you know what, God is so good with no worries when he said that, because what does worry do? It just brings torment. You know, torment to you. And God wouldn't have us in torment. He wants us to flow. He wants us to flow in his spirit. You know, he wants the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and flow in that spirit, or in his spirit,
Amen.
Not that, in his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
And like the word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not evil, to give you an expected end. That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
A hope and
amen.
A future. That's a promise. And his promises are yea and amen. And what he spoke over your lives tonight, what even if you feel like, oh, it ain't going to happen, listen, if he spoke it either 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if Jesus has spoken it, you're here, God has spoken it, you can take it to the bank.
Amen.
His word won't go back void.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Amen.
His word.
Amen.
I was listening. Good evening, first of all, to
good evening.
You all. I was listening, just listening in a little bit, and I couldn't help but chime in on the fact that y'all was talking about worry. And, I have a little theory for worry, and I think I shared it with you all before. The thing about worrying is, worrying is like riding an exercise bike. You know, you can sit there and you can paddle it all day long, all day long. And it's not going to get you anywhere.
Wow.
When you look at it, when it comes to worrying, when you look at it, it's still going to be there when you get through. Amen? You know what I'm saying? It's still going to be there when you get through. So I just want to iterate and say that that's what I was thinking about whenever y'all was talking about worrying. And then I heard you mention something about faith. I also have something about faith that I like to dish out to our church when people start talking about their faith. And anyone that's listening need to hear this, because faith and what faith is, and we understand what the book of Hebrews says about faith, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So here's my take on that. Now, I love it because, and I'll be honest with you, I got it from James Ford Jr. On the Moody broadcast.
Okay.
And I love what he said, faith is believing that it is so, even when it ain't so, until it becomes so because God says so. And I just love that. Like I said, I just kind of like got in on the conversation here. I just took my baby back home, took my little nephew back home, and was getting back in the house. So, yes.
It's good to hear you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be heard.
Amen.
And, you know, the beauty of it is that's what we go through. You know, we talk about worries. We talk about faith. Those are the simplicities that we're supposed to go through it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
With ease. And that's the confidence that we have in Christ. That's that confidence we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be bold, knowing without a shadow of a doubt it's going to work out.
Amen.
Amen. May I ask a question, Elder? Elder Clay?
Yes,
sir. I want to ask a question, Minister Herman, and anybody out there that's listening. Why do we worry? Yeah, that's my question. Why do we worry?
That's that human.
And that's the answer you get, you know. That's our human nature, you know. That's what we do. But don't you think that when we worry, we're disobeying the word of God? Because God says, don't worry. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. You know, don't worry about anything. He said, the Bible says, you know, why do we worry when we know that God, when we believe that God is going to be the one to take care of us? Why do we worry?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, God says, if I take care of the little birds, what more are they than you? You know, we are His creation. We are created in His image and after His likeness. And I understand. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all that I have nothing in the world to worry about. But I try to control my worrying when I start thinking about the promises that God had made.
Amen.
And that's what I like about that old song, Standing on the Promises of God. You know, I love that song because that's what we are. We as Christians,
amen,
we are believers in Jesus Christ. We are standing on His promises. And if He said it, we might as well believe it because that's the way it's going to be. Amen.
Amen.
It may not
amen,
come. That promise may not come when we want it to. You know, we're people and we want things right now, instant. You know, we got everything is instant, microwave. Everything needs to be done right quick. But God don't
amen,
work that way.
Amen.
Ooh,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He don't
hallelujah,
work that way. He works on His time and not our time. So
amen,
when we sit back and worry, when we sit back and just worry, all we're doing is shortening our life.
Yes.
Shortening our
amen,
lives. You know, making ourselves look older, making ourselves feel older, because, you know, God said you can't add nothing to your life by worrying.
Yeah,
it
is.
The one thing for certain, you can take something away. Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to shut up, but I just...
No, that's good.
No, I just have to
deal with this thing worrying because we do. Yes. We have a lot of Christians who go to church Sunday after Sunday, Bible study Wednesday after Wednesday. Some of them even go to revivals during the week, but yet still they worry. And you know, they worry. You know, I'm just, and I've got this thing planted, you know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's my belief scripture right there, you know. That's my belief scripture. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. And you know, Elder Clay, you know yourself that us being ministers, also Minister Herman, us being ministers, when we talk to people or when people want to talk to us, the first thing, you know, they think is, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say pray about it. But, I mean, but what else can you do about it? You know, there's a song we sing in, out of our hymn. It says, leave your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your spirit and your heart will control. You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to leave everything on the altar and give it to God. Don't worry about it. Have faith enough. There's that word again, faith. Have faith enough in God to believe that he's going to answer. And I promise you, anybody out there in radio land, I promise you, if you have faith in God and have enough patience to wait on him, he's going to answer. Amen.
Pastor Robinson, there's a text that I just received from another pastor online, and his comment, he's saying that worrying is a learned trait. A learned trait. What do you think about that?
Worry is a learned trait.
A learned trait.
Yes, it is. I believe that. I believe that we learn how to worry, because we're not born with worrying. I mean, a little baby don't worry about anything. You know what I mean? So we're not born worriers. We do. It's a learned trait. I believe that. I agree with that.
Amen. You know, and I know you did mention in terms of there's a little saying that they have. Anybody remember that saying that it's how does it go? It says if you're going to pray, don't worry, and if you're going
That's
to worry,
right.
don't pray.
Woo! Hallelujah!
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Woo!
Amen.
Oh, you got me jumping. You got me jumping around my living room now, Elder Clay. I like it.
Hallelujah.
That's a fact. If you're going to worry about it, don't even pray.
You know what I was thinking about while y'all were talking is that, yes, that worry. I was thinking about how when Jesus went to that Garden of Gethsemane, that wasn't worry, but he was, I don't know, the word says that everything that we go through, Jesus went through,
mm-hmm.
because he mm-hmm. has our infirmities and all that other stuff. But what I was thinking is that if he was concerned, and he was, because it said that his sweat was like drops of blood.
Yeah.
Concerning his going to the cross. Okay, so in his humanness, he had I don't want to say worry, but I'll say worry or a deep concern about where his fate was going. But I found out that, and as I was thinking about it, I thought about how, but where he overcame was he submitted his spirit unto your will be your will, Lord, not my will. So if we would keep, I don't know if I explained that well enough, but if we would keep that in mind, that when worry seems like it's coming, if we would arrest that anxiousness or that worry in us and submit ourselves unto him, Holy Spirit, unto God, we would be all right. We wouldn't have to worry about anything. Because it was when Jesus succumbed, when he allowed his spirit to to succumb to the will of God, he was no longer in worry or in deep concern.
There you go, there you go. And I like the way you put that, Minister Haman, because that's the word that I was coming when you start talking about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane and you had this thought about worrying, but the word concern is
yeah,
what
he was
came
deeply,
to my mind.
He was
deeply concerned. So somebody help me out. What's the difference between worrying and being concerned? Somebody elaborate on that.
Could you say it again a little louder so we can hear you?
The difference between worrying and being concerned.
All the mics open.
I just need some,
right
some insight.
That's
some insight
right
on
all
that.
All the mics open. Anybody like to comment? All your mics open. He's addressing what is the difference between being concerned and worried?
Being concerned and worried.
I mean, that's just something to think about because a lot of times we think that we have in our thought that when we're concerned about something, we're worried about it.
You know what? I just got it. Okay, I looked it up.
I was
okay.
Looking it up. Go ahead, Elvis.
Okay, according to H. Stevens, there is a great difference between worry and concern. A worried person sees a problem, and a concern solves a problem.
That's good.
All right. I like it.
Okay. Say it again, Elvis.
A worried person sees a problem, and
problem.
A concerned person
solves
the problem.
There you
love
go.
It. All love right. It.
Love it. Amen.
Love
so,
it.
So now we see that Jesus
so
was not
see.
Worried, but he was concerned.
I love it.
Because did not he go to the cross? Yes, sir.
I received a text here, and I'm reading the text. It says, let me get back to it. It came up and then it left.
That was very good.
I love this technology. It says that it's just concern. Concern means you've thought about it. And worrying are things that you can't handle.
Okay. Good.
Concern,
good.
You've thought about it, and worrying are things you can't, well, it's when you can't handle it.
So what comes to my mind is the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And this was the difference.
This
was the
difference.
Concern and worry. I love it. Worry sees a concern serves a.
Yes,
you even think that you can handle it.
Yeah,
well, you even think that you can handle it.
And you know, I think about my Savior. I think about my Savior when he went to Calvary. He went to Calvary not worrying. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Hallelujah. He went to Calvary not worrying, but he went concerned.
He solved the problem.
Amen. He solved that problem when he hung on that old rugged cross. When the S-U-N couldn't sign because the S-O-N was shining.
That's good.
I like that.
Man.
We running out of time, but overboard, right here. I'm in love with this conversation here.
Yeah, y'all got me.
You too? Me too in New York. Long Island.
Yeah, I got happy up in here, man. Whew.
Yes.
Man, I'm glad I went in and dive in.
Pardon? No, I'm thinking. I see South Carolina hasn't made any comments, but that's okay.
Wow, man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Praise his
Hallelujah.
Name.
Hallelujah.
Praise his name.
Amen.
Lord,
yes,
Jesus,
yes,
praise
yes.
his name.
And
well,
isn't that good? Isn't that good? We all are from different states.
Yeah.
Different states. And just coming in and talking about one God.
Yes.
You're talking about how powerful one God. Everybody's from a different state.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about one God. How powerful
one
is
God.
That?
Yeah.
And we don't get in situations
yeah.
where we're going to worry about things? Come on,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Mm.
No worry. It's not over. It's just a pause in our journey.
Amen.
And I put that pause Amen. There. That pause is when we just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you take over. I can't handle it.
There
Amen.
You go. There you go. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We
Ooh.
Just surrender. God, it's yours.
I
can't handle it anymore. It's yours.
That's good.
Once we've done that, we have surrendered. We've surrendered.
And what I like, Elder Clay, is we have to understand God in this thing, because the Bible says that he is Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
Yes.
The beginning and
yes.
the end.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The first and the last. The
yes.
Bible says
Hallelujah.
That he is from everlasting to everlasting.
Mm.
He's God.
Hallelujah.
And there's none like him. Woo, there's none like him. Lord
none
have mercy.
Like him. Amen. Amen. And you know, even I'm gonna even add on to that. I'm gonna even add on it. And the word it says, taste and know that I am good.
Woo!
So if you haven't tasted the goodness of Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ, if you haven't tasted, then you're missing out on the best thing of your life.
Mm. Amen.
Brother Clay, can I help him out a
yes,
little
sir.
Bit more? If they haven't tasted, let me tell you what it tastes like. The word says it's sweeter than a honeycomb.
Come on.
Woo. Woo, that's what it tastes like.
And
oh,
let me
Lord.
I love it.
Jesus.
My
Jesus.
We come toward the end of our hour. We've come to the end of the Minister Herman, we're going to, are any closing comments that you want to make? Or we definitely, I know I definitely enjoy this talk. And you know what? It's good when
yeah.
we come together. It's
yeah.
good when we come together just to be able to feed on the Word of God. And somebody, you could have been preaching for 30 years and somebody might say something to just give you a spark. God might, you know, and I believe that's when God comes in the picture, speaks through someone else and gives you a spark
yeah.
saying,
yes.
I'm still with you. I haven't left you.
Yeah.
I'm still with you. And he speaks through someone else. It just sparks. Whatever they say, there's a word of something that just sparks. It ignites you. It ignites you to go a little further.
Mm. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank
I thank
you,
God
Lord.
For
thank
each and every one of you for coming on Wednesdays. Let me tell you something. Talking about getting full and holding over until the next Wednesday, even the Sunday, you got Sunday, then you got the next Wednesday, and then somebody else comes and speaks in your life through the weekday. Listen, God is always working on our behalf.
Yes,
even
amen.
When we don't know.
Amen.
Even when we don't know it. And for those
amen.
Of you out there who are listening, whatever you're going through, whatever you go, let me tell you something. God's going to work it out on your behalf.
Yes.
God's
going to
work it out. He's already said it. He's already, so I advise you to go ahead and receive it and move forward and just accept your blessings. Because there ain't nothing you can do about it.
And amen. I just want to say this one last thing. You remember that jingle for Pepsi? I think it was for Pepsi. Things go better with Coke or things go better with Pepsi? Well, just put it this way. Things go better with Jesus. Things go better with the Lord.
Because he's the real thing. He's like
yes,
Coca-Cola.
Yes.
He's the real thing.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't get me started again. I know we gotta go. We gotta go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, we're looking forward to you coming on. So, you know, please let us know when you're ready to come on. You know, take some time out and come on and take over this and take over, you know, for one Wednesday. Okay. I'm going to comment and say it's not all my business. It says, I love this blog. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, my goodness.
Amen.
We love you too. We love you too. Amen.
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 Amen. The body of Christ. That's when you know you're working together. The arms, the legs,
Amen.
Everybody's working with the hands of the Father.
We love
it.
We
are helping each other out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
listen, before I get excited, I'm going to let you turn it on over to you, and we're going to cool down. Pastor Robinson, let us know when you're coming on, okay?
Okay. Let me know, man, and I'll slip out. Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Minister Herman.
Yes. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for the word. We thank you for all that's being said and done to the glory of you, Father. Lord, bless each and every household that was represented on this line. Lord, continue to move by your power and your anointing on their behalf. And we thank you right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
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 Like a dream.